Hello, everyone, and welcome to the weekly newscast here at PWPonderings.com. My name is Jerome Cusan, the senior editor of this here website. Chris GSD is under the weather and will not be on the show tonight, but we still have a whole lot of stuff to talk about, including Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's 13th anniversary show from this past weekend, and we will be discussing a huge weekend in Southern Wrestling that will be taking place, with both the Scenic City Invitational taking place just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, as well as Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's first new show of the season. We'll be discussing that since I will be live tweeting results at PW Pawrings, but I cannot do this show alone. Of course, with me is Brian DeBrain. Brian, have you recovered from PWG yet?
A little bit, but it was more like a preview of what's to come because it was so hot in that building, and I kept thinking it's going to be so much worse in a month from now. So, yeah. But it was quite the night. Weird, but it was still fun. The crowd loved it. So I guess that was okay.
And joining us via landline, Sierra Reed. Sierra, joining us the old school way here.
Yeah, because, you know, technology cannot outdo a landline in 2016.
Certainly not. So first, we have to talk about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They ran their big 13th anniversary show this past Friday night, and basically it turned into the Roderick Strong farewell show. Roderick Strong, who has been a contributor to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla going back over 10 years at this point, multiple-time tag team champion, world champion. The guy has literally done it all everywhere he's been, including Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And basically, he got to go out in a really big way, having two matches this past Friday. So, Brian, I'm going to turn things over to you so you can discuss what was another historic show in Reseda, California.
Yeah, it was a weird night. They had some terrible reffing the whole night, just terrible. As you expect, Justin was a terrible ref. And I guess I want to talk about first, like, Chuck Taylor and Trent. Because that was just strange as it is, because they went no DQ and did, like, this impromptu guerrilla warfare match, and the crowd loved it. It turned out to be a great, like, guerrilla warfare match by the end because of the spots and everything, but no announcement towards it. And then once, like, they started using chairs and stuff, and then once they started bringing ladders into the ring, the crowd just totally turned on Justin, going, like, what the fuck are you doing? You're a terrible ref. Ring the bell, blah, blah, blah. And then they just let it go, and then the crowd figured, okay, this is just kind of lazy, you know, booking, I guess, just on the fly, impromptu street fight with tacks and a ladder and chairs and whatnot. You figure going into this match would be a comedy match, and they went all out in a street fight. You know, no one thought about that going in, like, this was going to be, like, this brutal, like, you know, grudge match. Who knew that these two had such a grudge that, I don't know, I feel kind of wasted. Like, you should have just announced this as a guerrilla warfare match from the start, so it's not, like, the crowd is not confused, like, halfway through the match, you know? Like, why is this going on? Justin, you're a shitty ref. Is Justin just purposely being even more shitty than usual? It was weird. But, yeah, this was the match that went out to intermission. And, I've had my theories. They're not in Bola. We have the boys scheduled for Bola. I think they might be the boys for one night team up with Dalton Castle, which I think would be awesome, but it kind of sucks that neither of these guys are in Bola. Again, Chuck Taylor winning, this time with a straight-up pile driver on some thumbtacks. Undefeated in 2016, yet no appearance in the tournament for Bola, so that kind of sucks. We've all had our gripes about that, so I guess life goes on, and maybe it's just like a, you know, booking thing, and maybe he really, I don't know, it sucks, but moving on, Jeff Cobb and Trevor Lee had a tremendous match for like a 10-minute match. This was great. It reminded me of every, like, 2004 Samoa Joe match, you know, like the way he was just, like, throwing around the small guys back in the day and just, like, overpowering them and then, you know, cutting them off at every turn, basically. This was this kind of match, and Trevor Lee was a great, you know, chicken shit heel right from the get-go and putting over his TNA status and whatnot. We even got a delete chant started. I didn't start it. My buddy next to me got a delete chant started. Believe it or not, delete and Matt Hardy, broken Matt Hardy, are kind of over in PWG for, you know, with the crowd, which is kind of strange to say, but it's been a crazy 2016 anyway. Adam Cole and Brian Cage had an okay opener, you know, just to get the crowd involved. Nothing too special there. You know, Roderick Strong was in the second match. He beat Timothy Thatcher. Going in, I kind of had that feeling maybe, you know, he'll come out at the end of the night, but not necessarily challenge for the belt, like all of a sudden in a Money in the Bank style. But I figured maybe, like, there'd be some botched interference here in this match, and Thatcher gets the upset victory, and then Adam Cole, like, turns on Roderick Strong or something, and that'd be the whole thing to kick Roderick Strong out. Because going in, we all kind of had the feeling. We've heard the rumors, and it turns out the rumors are true. And when the actual, like, cash-in happened and then Roddy lost and all that stuff, people around me, like, didn't even know. So I guess to some people, like, it was not well-known. For more of the insider baseball crowd, I guess, we kind of knew. So it was kind of actually, like, an unexpected shock to the crowd. And then all of a sudden, like, at the end, the crowd was, like, pro-Roddy. But, you know, I got to talk about Space Cat because that was the most probably the most interesting Sami Callihan match I've ever seen ever. Just because, like, wrestling in character, very much a Chikara thing, you know, wrestling in character, basing the moves around the character. I mean, I didn't see this coming. I guess he posted on Twitter that he was starting this new character, Space Cat, I guess to counter the villain role, because he came out with, like, a small, tiny umbrella and shit. And if you see those pictures, man, he was just so into the character. Like, it was over, man. The crowd loved it. Coming out to Tom Jones, that was pretty interesting. But the crowd loved it, so there you go. And I kind of designed a t-shirt already, but he didn't really respond. But if you want to check that out, it's on my Twitter. Space Cat, he's over. And even though he lost, he kind of got over with the crowd. So he kind of won at the end, I felt, even though Marty Scurll got the win. And this one went kind of long, but it really was just so interesting, like the way Sami Callihan would just, like, pet his hair like a cat, lick himself like a cat, and then, like, use the scratching as, like, his main weapon instead of strikes, you know? Very interesting stuff. I don't know where he got it from. I don't know if he was stoned off his ass or something, but shit, it was the most interesting Sami Callihan match I've ever seen. So I don't know what that says. It's not like it's probably his best match ever, because probably his best match was Finley, but this was certainly, like, had my attention, even though I was in the beer line the whole time. So shout out to that. The tag title match was, everyone seemed to love it. I thought it was okay. I guess I'm kind of getting sick of the whole Young Bucks thing after, like, what, 7 years now, pretty much seeing, like, all their matches in PWG Live, and it's getting to the point where it's almost predictable on, like, the spots and what's coming up next and the double downs and whatnot. And, you know, Chris Hero was awesome in this match, I thought. I thought JT Dunn was good at the Ricky Morton role, but, you know, being Ricky Morton and you just can't be Ricky Morton and mini Chris Hero at the same time. It's just not going to work. I feel like he's got to really develop his own style, kind of separate his own style from Chris Hero, even though the whole Death by Elbow thing, it just feels like he's mini Chris Hero. But, you know, maybe his singles work is a little different, but it just kind of felt, it was just, I don't know, a failed comparison to the real Chris Hero every time. So, and then we had the main event, Sabre and O'Reilly had an awesome match, as you expect, probably match of the night. They basically, it was the story of Sabre going after O'Reilly's shoulder and O'Reilly going after Sabre's leg. So it was, you know, nice counters back and forth towards the end. They really did have the hot stretch, and I was like, wow, this match just kind of ended without like a hot 2 minute stretch towards the end, even though it's still pretty like awesome towards the end of the match, as you'd expect from these two who know how to finish a match. And then the octopus stretch armbar combo from Sabre Jr. gets the win. All of a sudden Roddy comes out and then gets the mic and says, I'm cashing in my rematch right now. And I guess new rules, terrible booking. I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden you can just cash in your rematch Money in the Bank style. Kind of terrible. I thought it was terrible. But, you know, people around me were just kind of confused and they were just thinking like, at first people were thinking like, people around me were saying, oh my God, Sabre's going to lose because he just signed with the WWE. And that was like maybe they were just playing on that assumption and the intrigue of like, you know, impromptu title match and whatnot. And this, you know, the sudden urgency of him having to lose the belt all of a sudden because this was pretty much a throwback to the night Roddy won the title back, I don't know, like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And it was the night that he went after Kyle O'Reilly right after O'Reilly beat Ricochet and O'Reilly accepted the challenge and lost the title in like a street fight. And again, here, like it was interference by the Young Bucks. So everyone just assumed, oh, disqualification finish, right? DQ, DQ. Rick Knox doesn't even ring the bell. And then it's just assumed that, oh, okay, so there's interference and it's no DQ. So we're just going to accept it. And it was just kind of terrible in that sense where he just had to assume that it was no DQ, even though like the there's no indication of an ODQ match, and like, let alone indication that you can actually cash in a rematch without even the champion accepting the challenge, just officially just cashing in like Money in the Bank style. Just, I thought it was terrible. But as soon as I say that, I hear the crowd chant, "This is awesome!" I guess because, you know, Sabre Jr. was kicking out of everything and everything. And then Marty Scurll came out to even the score, and then Kyle O'Reilly came in. He was still on the side, came in and made the rescue once the Young Bucks interfered. And then it kind of got one-on-one from there because, you know, the Young Bucks were isolated, so you had Roddy and Sabre one-on-one. And then Adam Cole comes out, accidentally nails Strong, I think, and then the European Clutch for the win. And then, you know, you just assume, oh, okay, they're going to do the Kevin Steen thing, and then they set up for the triple super kick. And then they just hugged Roderick Strong. And then it was weird because Sabre looked like he was going to take the bullet for Roderick Strong. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, he's been bullying you for like a year and a half. And like, he just like tried to take the title from you. And all of a sudden you're going to like take a triple super kick for this guy. It was strange. But I mean, all in all, I guess it was, you know, what can you do? Maybe they just found out that Roderick Strong was like going to leave all of a sudden. You know what I mean? But it was strange. Like, they should have just booked it the way
you're I thought. You're really stretching there, Brian.
Yeah, I know. It was terrible, but the crowd liked it, but I don't know. It seems like timing was just, I don't know. It was weird. Terrible booking, but the crowd loved it.
Anything else to add, Brian? Obviously, the what's next on the agenda? Nothing in August, but we have the Battle of Los Angeles taking place Labor Day weekend. Do you have your tickets, and are you ready to go for Bola?
Yeah, I was nervous. I was a little, you know, nauseated. You know, I felt like throwing up, but right when 8 o'clock hit, my nerves calmed. Got my tickets in 30 seconds. And, I don't want to say wasted $217, but goddamn, it's a lot of money for a local indie show for three nights, so there it is, everybody. I'm not a front row kind of guy unless there's an open seat and someone just tells me to sit there. But, because that usually happens anyway. But I got my tickets. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be sweating my ass off. I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe like going to Costco and just stocking up on Gatorade the whole weekend. Maybe even an ice chest. Who knows?
That would certainly seem to be the appropriate move given how hot that part of Rosita can get. So, Brian, thank you very much. And, you know, I think one of the more fascinating points that you brought up there was your discussion of the Young Bucks. And this has certainly been a topic of conversation over the last few months with both the Young Bucks as well as Kenny Omega. And, Brian, I'm not sure how much of the G1 you've had a chance to watch, but I know that many have been disappointed with Kenny Omega's performances really ever since, for him, same thing over the last few months. And, you know, Kenny Omega has openly discussed feuding with the New Day. And, obviously he can be a little wacky at times. And I'm just curious, what your thoughts are on sort of the G1 thus far and specifically Kenny Omega.
Last year I entered the Voices of Wrestling contest. That contest where you guess the winners and everything. When I tried to like enter, I just got a headache thinking of like, okay, who's going to win here and there? Because there's like that B block is so fresh, but at the same time, like everyone's beating each other at the same time, you know? The booking is kind of, you know, I mean, it's obvious Tanahashi's going to win the block unless something crazy happens. It feels like, cause I've only watched like night one and two, but I'm trying to like watch, you know, highlights and clips everywhere I can, like in between. Cause I really don't have a lot of time, but I really like night two, Kirk and Hall, the B block with all the upsets. I thought everyone was just like shocked. And then once one upset happened after another, like the crowd was like really super into it. You could hear ladies crying by the end, you know, when Hanma won and then when Yoshihashi won. It was even funny when the commentators were laughing at Yoshihashi when he was doing the Nakamura celebration. But in terms of like the performances by Omega, I liked his performance against Yoshihashi. I still got more Block B to watch, but from what I've heard, it seems like Naito seems to be kind of the star of that block along with like a Shibata. Elgin, I heard, is a hit or miss on some performances. Some reviews I've read about the Shibata match, which is, I figured that'd be a killer match, but some people are on the fence about it, which is kind of interesting. So, kind of weird, the B block. Everyone expects Naito, but at this point, it's like all 50-50 booking. So it's very almost unpredictable. At least Nakajima's having a, you know, a star-making performance, I feel. Getting a lot of, like, singles wins and highlights. Feels like he should be a guy that should jump over to New Japan, kind of like Sanada did. Because it seems like if they're not going to give him the Noah title, which he seems like he's not in play for right now at this point, because he should be, like, at this point, almost the star, not Goshi Ozaki or anything like that, just because Nakajima's even the younger guy anyway. But if they're not going to push him like that, I see New Japan takes him and kind of pushes him. And you can see him getting these wins here in the G1 is like a sign that they probably want to use him more. So, and like I said, the A block, I feel like Tenzan's momentum is kind of already gone, I feel. If he didn't, you know, have an awesome performance against Okada, it feels like he really did. I know the crowd was really into it, but it felt like, from what I read and heard, that it wasn't really a big time performance that he really needed to deliver on if he was going to convince people that he was going to win. So I think he's already out of the running. A-Block is pretty much going to be Tanahashi winning everyone out. So that's kind of how they want to do it. Unless, you know, there's some big, like, sudden loss on the final night and Tanahashi just becomes heartbroken for not be going to the finals. But right now, if I were to predict it, it's still going to be Naito and Tanahashi. I'm hoping that Shibata somehow gets in there, but it's not looking good at this point.
Shibata is probably winning next year. That's what a lot of people have been speculating and discussing. So Shibata's time will probably be next year. And I would highly encourage everyone to go read Eddie Cornelison, as he has been doing reviews of all of the G1 shows and doing a tremendous job of doing that. And you can catch all of the latest columns and reviews at pwponderings.com. Definitely go take a look at everything he's done, and there are new reviews just about posted every day during this period. So Eddie just came onto the staff and has already written about 10 reviews for the website, just because that is the nature of the G1 Climax. So we want to thank Eddie very much for doing all of that hard work. And what I would like to do now is to get into a little bit of previewing. For everybody else, for the other results, go to pwponderings.com/results. Sierra, you haven't had a chance to talk much PWG or New Japan, but I want to give you the opportunity to preview what's coming up this weekend in the world of women's wrestling, as AIW will be presenting Girls Night Out. And I know this is one of the more anticipated events of the entire calendar year for women's wrestling. And this is also coming off of the Women's Wrestling Revolution project that took place this past Sunday. So anything that you want to discuss with WWR as well as AIW, please do that.
Well, I haven't gotten to really check out the results from WWR, which I'm sure I'm going to, and I'm excited to see how the show goes. And I was thoroughly impressed with the first run. So I'm pretty sure the second show is just going to be just as great. I feel like they're just topping themselves each show in and out. And the matches and the talent that they bring in is really great. But we got Girls Night Out 18 this weekend. And I don't know. I like the card, but some of the matches I'm kind of not really sure how they're going to go. But first off, we got Heidi Loveless defending the AIW Women's Championship against Crazy Mary Dodson. And they were supposed to fight over the belt at Girls Night Out 8-17, but the match was scrapped due to Lovelace not being there at the show, and Dobson took on Nicole Savoy in her debut in an open challenge match. So we got that as a title match. We also have Allison Kay taking on Britt Baker, which I'm sure is going to be a really good match. I was really impressed with Britt Baker last time. We have Angela Slane taking on Kelly Klein. I think this is Angela's return to Girls Night Out in maybe like 2 years. So it's been a big hiatus in between those shows. We also have Annie Social taking on Shayna Baszler, which, my God, I don't know about you, but that sounds hard-hitting right there. We got Nicole Savoy taking on LaFista. Beta Sky has issued an open challenge. And we got a tag team match. We have Raylan and Marty Bell, who I guess she's her manager now. I don't know. We saw that at the last show that they were kind of like following each other around. So they're going to be teaming up, taking on Angel Dust and Brittany Blake, which I said the last time I would like to have seen those two become a tag team. So I guess it's official and it's happening. And we also have MJ Jenkins and Vanity also appearing, but they haven't been announced for any matches yet. So I'm guessing those two are going to go against each other. We also have Queens of Combat 13 this Saturday in Charlotte, North Carolina, as part of the NWA Legends Fan Fest. And we got Kayla Hendricks defending the championship against Angelina Love, Su Yung taking on Malaya Hosaka in a no disqualification match. And we also have Samantha Heights taking on Miss Dyslexia and Roddy Nicole coming off of a tour of Japan taking on Jessica Havoc. That's the only match that's been announced so far. So, yeah, I guess that's all that's going on this weekend.
And one of the things you also wanted to discuss as well was the WSU will be returning very soon. And why don't you talk a little bit about what's coming up with them?
Yeah, they've only announced one match for their return on September 10th in Voorhees, New Jersey, and it's going to be Medium J, whatever you prefer to call her, taking on Cherry Bomb for the WSU World Championship match at Resurgence 2. So hopefully the tag team titles will be on the card this time, and we won't have no shenanigans with that. And their last couple shows, the matches have not been – I don't know, the placement has been weird, but I've been liking a new influx of talent, especially bringing in Su Yung, Samantha Heights, and some of the girls that's really needing to find a different place to go. So, yeah, this title match has really set the bar, so hopefully the undercard is just as improved, too.
All right, thank you very much, Sierra. I would be remiss if I did not mention that Beyond Wrestling ran one of their biggest shows ever, and what is typically their biggest show of the year. That would be American Rana 2016. Of course, you can find full results at pwponderings.com/results. Jonathan Gresham defeated Zack Sabre Jr. in a best of three falls match, and he basically dominated the series. David Starr defeated Johnny Gargano. There were various hijinks and shenanigans associated with the DDT Iron Man heavy metalweight title, plus a whole lot more. So definitely go check out those results at ProWrestlingPonderings.com. So that's Beyond Wrestling, and what I would like to get into now is a preview of a couple of huge shows that are going to be taking place in the South this weekend. And I am going to first talk about the Scenic City Invitational, the second ever Scenic City Invitational, and it takes place this Friday and Saturday, August 5th and 6th, at East Hamilton High School in Ooltewah, Tennessee, just outside of Chattanooga. Now, Brian, fun fact, you spent $217 for the Battle of Los Angeles, correct?
Correct, Amanda.
That's how much I spent for general admission tickets for both nights of the Scenic City Invitational.
As I recall, it's like 25 bucks.
20 American dollars is what I spent for tickets to the Scenic City Invitational. That is less than 10% of what you spent.
Well, I blame Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that would seem to be the appropriate person to blame. So let's get into the card. So obviously, Night 2 really doesn't have anything announced because this is a tournament. But there are 16 participants. Both shows will be starting at 7:30. Doors opening at 6:30. Jimmy Rave will be wrestling the current PWX champion as well as an NXT star in John Skyler. Joey Lynch, who is the current Empire heavyweight champion. Empire is the promotion that is putting on the SCI. He will be taking on Ray Fury. Drew Delight will be taking on Wild Billy Buck. Anthony Henry will be taking on Leo Rush. Obviously, Leo Rush has been making a name for himself in Ring of Honor. Anthony Henry in many Southern promotions. We also have Kip Day versus Odinson. Michael Judas versus Gunnar Miller. Corey Hollis versus Matt Riddle. And obviously, a lot of people looking forward to seeing what Matt Riddle has to offer. This will be my first opportunity to see him live. And then in the main event, one of the more underrated wrestlers in all of independent wrestling, Kyle Matthews, will be taking on Chris Hero. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to go to you first, Sierra. Anything about this particular card that strikes you? Is there anyone that you are interested in seeing?
Nothing really in particular. I just I don't know. I always like looking at the whole card to see how the show flows. So I can't really say there's anything standing out to me right now.
All right. And Brian, what do you have to say? Anything that is really striking your fancy?
I'm just more curious as to who they're going to, you know, have the tournament at the end. You know, who's going to be the winner? Like, is it going to be like a Chris Hero or a Leo Rush, a guy we know, or maybe one of the more local guys? So in the smart thing to do would be put over the local guys. So I guess Chris Hero is I predict he'd probably go to make a run of the finals, have, you know, awesome matches, probably with the local guys as opposed to, like, you know, a match we've already seen or probably already will see, like a Leo Rush, Chris Hero match, or like a Chris Hero, Matt Riddle match. And then you just do, like, you know, have him against the local guys. And that's kind of what you should do anyway. I mean, you should put over the local talent anyway. And they're probably just as good as, you know, Leo Rush and Matt Riddle, you know, maybe even better. We just don't know it yet. And this is a great way to, you know, showcase them. And, you know, I hope, you know, Leo Rush actually goes, like, pretty deep. I think, like, the last – he's pretty hot right now. I mean, he won the Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament. He's having a hot run now. He's probably one of those guys that probably could have been Ebola if it wasn't so star-studded. And, you know, Matt Riddle is the prodigy right now. And him against anybody, I think, would be a learning experience for him and the guy he's facing. So it's just a lot of cool stuff going on. And just – the fact that you paid $20 just, kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Brian, I hate to break your heart, but Leo Rush is actually booked for Dreamwave on Saturday. So I don't think the miracle run to the finals is happening.
Well, now you just gave it away. Spoilers.
I mean, Leo Rush is being advertised by Dreamwave. So I don't think that is uncouth or out of bounds to say that, but I'm just saying, Leo Rush is booked for Dreamwave on Saturday, so Don't kill the messenger on this one, everybody. it is worth noting that Jimmy Rave won this tournament last year, and it'll be interesting to see just who comes out the victor this year. So the format of the tournament is a little bit different. They will be 8 first-round matches on Friday night, and then Saturday night, there will be 4 semifinal matches, and then the finals will take place on that night, and it will be a fatal 4-way elimination match. The other match that was announced was a tag team special attraction, a Tank and Iceberg, 2 giant hoss men, as they have laid down an open challenge, and they will be challenged by some team or even teams. So that will be taking place on Saturday. So a lot of tournament action plus some tag action. Unfortunately, we had to let Sierra go. Sierra is just having so many technical complications. We will try to bring her back for a full podcast at some point, but I'm glad that we at least got some of the women's wrestling news out of the way. So I will be tweeting out results of the SCI tournament this Friday and Saturday at PW Ponderings on Twitter. So if you are interested in following everything that's going along, you could do so there. I may be doing some podcasting this weekend as well, depending on how things shake out. So that is the SCI tournament, probably the first major independent tournament of the summer. And there's going to be a whole lot more with Chikara, with Bola, as well as with the King of Hearts tournament in Alpha 1 as well, not to mention the G1 that's going on. Not to mention Best of the Super Juniors. We are in the midst of tournament season. So there is another huge card taking place in the South, and that will be Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, as they are running their big season premiere in the summer. And it is taking place, of course, in Atlanta. And I will also be in attendance for this show, also tweeting. It will be taking place at the Campbellton Road Community Center in Atlanta, Georgia, 2800 Campbellton Road. Tickets are a little bit pricier here, about $15 to $30, depending on where you want to sit. And some of the matches that have been announced for this particular show, Death by Elbow, Brian's favorite tag team, Chris Hero and JT Dunn, they will be taking on the Kraken. Anthony Henry will be taking on Jimmy Rave, Donovan Dijak, and Adrian Armour. Ethan Case and Gary J. Gary J. has been very, very impressive on a number of independent shows lately. Martin Stone, also a guy who's been very impressive on NXT and some Rev Pro shows. He'll be wrestling Owen Knight, and Chris Crunk will be taking on Aaron Epic. Brian, anything that is striking your fancy on this particular card?
Man, why are you going to make me feel bad that I'm not a Death by Elbow fan? C'est la vie, I guess. What can you do? So, yeah, I guess they're the draw. Who else is on this card? Sorry, I was reading the Tier 1 card at the same time.
That's right. Donovan Dijak and Adrian Armour. Adrian Armour is a guy who's getting a ton of buzz right now in the Southern independent scene and is probably someone that we're going to be hearing a great deal about in the very near future.
That's probably going to be interesting. I know Dijak is, I guess he's kind of on the rise, but it's kind of been stagnant, but at least he's getting more attention to Ring of Honor now. So him against, you know, this will be interesting. Looking at this tier, sorry, we have to go to the tier one card. We haven't gone over it yet, but man, just some interesting stuff here on this card. I'm looking at it. Sorry, I'm distracted.
Brian is very easily distracted. So yes, we are going to discuss tier one, which is taking place this Sunday, and it is going to be a fascinating show. August 7th, there will be having matches at the St. Finbar Catholic Church in Brooklyn, New York. And tickets are as low as 15 and front row is 25. And Brian, since you have been paying attention and really looking at this card closely, what is so interesting to you?
Well, this is the final fray, right, where it's like they had this big tournament to get, like, it's six-way matches to get to the final six-way match, correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
So I'm just thinking, like, wow, they got a nice variety. I mean, what, that's six times. Did they really get, like, 36 different people for this tournament? Because that's impressive if you really think about it. Is my math way off on this?
No, I mean, this was six-way matches, and that's 36 people, so.
Hey, I mean, not a lot of rosters have that kind of, like, you know, are willing to have that kind of depth in terms of the indies, so good for them, I guess. I mean, if you look who's on this card, there's a lot of people on this card. I mean, you know, I really don't know any of these people, but if you add them up, it's a lot of young indie guys, so. Yeah, not bad for the price. I mean, this is something totally worth going to. You got a Matt Riddle match, and then, yeah, I'm very fascinated about the whole, like, six-way fray thing. I like interesting concepts like that in wrestling. I find it fascinating like that, and that's a good way to put people over.
For sure. The doors will be opening at 3:30. The bell time will be 4 p.m. for the Wrestler's Laboratory and 5 p.m. for Tier 1 Wrestling, so you get a chance to see some younger guys as well as some more experienced competitors. Some of the other matches that will be taking place include Rude Boy Riley defending the Tier 1 Championship over Gran Akuma. Also, Jay George versus Matt Riddle, a guy we talk a lot about here. So definitely check out Tier 1 if you get a chance. And for more information on the company, check out tier1wrestling.org as well as twitter.com/tier1wrestling. So those are some of the big cards that are taking place this weekend. I am very much looking forward to my weekend in the South. This is my first time going to the American South, so it's going to be... What?
Stay safe.
Stay safe, exactly. I will be doing a lot of traveling over the next month, as I talked about on Twitter. A lot of traveling. And I'm very much looking forward to this weekend. So, Brian... if there is nothing else, I know that last week Brian was not here because he saw The Killing Joke in theaters. And Brian, I'm hopeful that that was worth it.
It was pretty good. It wasn't like as disappointing as some people made it out to be. I mean, going and reading the comic, I know exactly what's going to happen. So I don't know what people were expecting, but maybe the whole thing about, you know, having a 20-minute Batgirl opening kind of rubbed people the wrong way. But I thought it was pretty good to really set up the whole tragedy of it all anyway. It's not the strongest DC animated movie because I think that's still the Dark Knight Returns 1 and 2, but this is probably like maybe top 5. And there's a lot of them, so it's not like I'm just saying top 5, you know, and there's like 6 of them. There's like maybe 15 or 20 of these things, and this is probably up there. And it's R, so if you like a Batman R-rated movie, there you go.
Definitely. And it is worth noting that AIW made a pretty big announcement this past week. They announced the whole shebang, a farewell to Johnny Gargano that will be taking place Friday, September the 23rd at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That will be Johnny Gargano's final match on the independent scene. And they also announced this match, Brian, Facade versus Teddy Hart, and that will be taking place on Friday, August 26th. Facade and Teddy Hart, that is a real match that is happening in AIW.
Can we just make it like TLC just to see what happens? I know that's just for a lot more.
That is asking for a suicide or homicide.
I know, but that's why, you know? Like, you figure they're going to do something stupid. Yeah, and knowing Facade, he's probably going to miss, like, a lot. I don't know. I know that's kind of a sick way of thinking, but it can only make that match much more out there and interesting if it was, like, some weird no-DQ thing where they can just throw ladders at each other and botch, so.
AEW announced some matches for August the 19th, including John Morrison versus Sami Callihan. The Hooligans will be wrestling Eddie Kingston and Homicide. We will also see Heidi Loveless and the besties of Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. They will be taking on OI4K of the Irish Airborne, as well as Jessica Havoc. So that will be taking place. Tickets are going very, very quickly for that show on August the 19th. And, of course, AEW also running September the 1st, as it will be Tommaso Ciampa versus Pentagon Jr. And, Brian, I know you are super jealous of me seeing that live.
Yeah, and I wasn't here last week, obviously, but I kind of want to hear your thoughts. Like, who's going to be the champion by the end of the year? Is this Pentagon thing, like, a one and done, and he's just going to drop it, like, back to Sami Callihan probably in, like, October or something? Or is this going to, like, be a regular thing? And who do you think is going to be in the final title match at the end of the year? Because I have my theories.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that there's a lot that's up in the air right now. There's a lot of people that are going to be leaving. You know, Johnny Gargano has already left. Tommaso Ciampa is going to be leaving. You obviously don't know what's going on with Pentagon Jr. I think there is a distinct possibility that Sami Callihan regains the AEW World Heavyweight title very soon. So that's probably what I'm thinking. You know, I think either on the 19th or September 1st, we're going to get an indication, because AEW's biggest show of the year is the Windy City Classic, and that takes place in November and Thanksgiving Saturday specifically. So that's probably where we're going to have, you know, the big title match, and we'll see who gets built up for that. You know, with Zack Sabre and Cedric Alexander possibly going to WWE as well, there's a possibility of a lot of new talent that could be coming in. We'll have to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, really interesting. And I kind of think that by the end of the year, I hope they do, because that Chris Hero promo, like, from, because I'm still watching that show. It takes me a while to get through shows nowadays. I'm so old. Was it Killers Among Us back in June? And he cut that promo about he's tired of being, like, the guy who comes in and wrestles the young guy, or the guy that comes in and wrestles the dream matches. He wants to be the champion. I'm getting this feeling that it's going to be, like, here on the title picture somehow. And I don't know, him and Pentagon would be interesting, but then again, like you said, they're probably going to hot shot the belt back to Sami, but maybe even Sami and Hero at the end of the year would be interesting. AEW's really picked it up this year, so shout out to them, and they're killing it, and really excited. And the fact that Pentagon's the champion, man, really shakes things up and kind of changed my perspective on Bola. And Pentagon's actually now my new pick to win Bola, so.
Absolutely. So if there is nothing else, Brian, now we can get to plugs. Talk about the store, talk about your Twitter, talk about the cards, everything going on, Brian.
For sure. Okay, let's plug the store, pwponderings.com/store, and you can check out our nice designs that I made about wrestling and random stuff and Abraham Lincoln and whatnot, and getting chopped in the chest. I think I came up with this one design, because I'm not officially sure if I can use the design, because officially, like right now, there is no Dusty Rhodes black t-shirt with giant yellow polka dots. You know what I mean? You can't even find a shirt like that. And I'm pretty sure I can pull that off as a print. So that could be some potential for the next design. So, yes, the cards. I've been getting a lot of response, and I finally finished a set of 24. The sets will be printed very, very soon. I just got to finalize things on some stuff and photo credits and whatnot. And thank you for all the response. And yes, just hit me up on Twitter, Brian the Brain. If you're going to be Ebola, I can give you a set there. There's only going to be 100 printed. Maybe I can work something out with not our producer, Chris, but a different Chris from Arkansas. Follow him on Twitter. Give him a shout out at one to follow. And he really stepped it up and reached out to print these cards. He's doing it for free, everybody. So this is very, all nonprofit, just for the fans and just for the wrestlers. I showed some of the samples to some of the wrestlers at PWG 13. Jeff Cobb is now a big fan of mine for doing the card. So, just hit me up on Twitter if you want to set. International shipping could be an issue. If you can figure out how to ship, just tell me how to ship it and just PayPal me the money. If I have any extra sets, I can possibly ship to maybe England or something. So hit me up on Twitter if you want to have interesting pop culture wrestling discussions at Brian DeBrain. And if you need some graphic design work done, hit me up. And it's pretty much it. And I'll be doing the usual coverage for Ebola this year. So that's a month from now, but I'm still going to be obviously on the podcast, probably talking about more G1 coming up next week and all that, and the finals coming up. So check it out.
Twitter.com/JeromePWP editor is the place to find me on Twitter. And for the results, we're going to have results going up every day this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to @PWPonderings on Twitter. You can also support us by giving us a 4 or 5 star review on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also click on our High Spots and Amazon links. You can get some great products for the same prices. We get a small kickback to keep the doors open for Brian, for Sierra, and for me. You've been listening to the Weekly Newscast. We will be back next week.